B-Pod Studios.
You want to talk sports in Boston? You talk to these guys.
I'm just going to say something quick. If you want to get everything, just go see Big Al and Reveal.
Zorak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Ha-ha! I love those Lobos.
I know they sing.
It's a big disappointment.
We forgot it's a Thursday. It's a Thursday. More Phil.
Yeah.
This is Phil.
And by the time we come out of the 12:15 break, T-Bone will have forgot about my
request.
No,
we will not. We will play Los Lobos at 12:20, and we will also be talking to Bruins forward Chris Wagner at 12:20. Late add to the program. He's not going to play tonight.
I love it, though.
He is going to join us anyway.
Nice.
Because
talk about the fight.
That's the kind of guy he is. We are. We're going to talk to him about that. Get his thoughts on that. See if he believes it was a horrifying act of violence.
Yeah. I don't know how horrified he is.
Horrifying. Horrifying.
Hope he's been able to sleep.
What a jam.
You like his sweatshirt?
What a jam.
You like his sweatshirt, Beetle?
That's a nice sweatshirt.
That's a nice sweatshirt, huh? Come on, NBC Sports. Put me on. There you go.
What?
Look at that thing.
I got him a sweatshirt.
Where'd you get this at, Beetle? That's nice.
You bought him a sweatshirt?
I didn't buy it for him. The sweatshirt was a gift.
Beetle came in with a sweatshirt last week. I said, that's a fine-looking sweatshirt.
Painting was a gift, Todd.
I'm taking it with me when
Maybe
I leave.
Maybe if you're nice, Hardy, you can get one, too.
What is it?
It's just a really high-quality sweatshirt.
Look at that patch.
From my friends at Collective.
Oh, all right.
Collective.
You know how you've talked about super comfortable hoodies?
Yeah.
How's that one rank
for wearing,
you?
I'm wearing my super comfortable Carhartt from working gear today.
I wore how that is, 2 weeks
is,
ago.
Is it on par with the comfortability, though? Because you have the same hoodie.
I handed it to him, and
same.
What did you say?
Okay.
He went, ooh.
Wow. And I was about
did,
ready. Like
did,
I was
that,
ready.
Is, that is his highest compliment.
That's just because it was free.
No.
He asked
if he could get one.
I don't say it a lot.
No.
Yeah.
I had a gray one on last week, and he said, that's really nice. Where'd you get that? I said,
Beetle walked in with it one day.
That's why I say that's your highest compliment.
And me, being stupid, left it here last night when I left because, you know, here comes Felger Mass.
And what did I do for you?
Beetle took it to Jim's office. That's where he lights somebody up. I thought, like, the evening show took it.
I put it away. In the office so that nobody else
made
the mistake of
it.
Thinking it was a freebie that someone had, you know, dropped off here.
There's a $5 bill I left, too, when I picked my tooth here. And Arcan took a picture, and is this yours? I said, yes. I said, you could have it. He took it.
Well, you told him he could have it.
Yeah. But I, like, rolled it up and picked my teeth with it. A piece of meat stuck.
Yeah, but, I mean, when you get a dollar bill somewhere, you don't know where that dollar bill has been.
Yeah, I don't think it's been handled so much. Like, what's the difference?
Money is filthy.
Right.
Yep. Absolutely disgusting. Gross.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay.
We did start the day with that, the heinous act that was Tom Wilson against Artemi Panarin the other night.
Yeah. And I took back my take from yesterday.
And Zoe has recanted his take.
No longer a D-bag. D-bag, yeah, still D-bag, but I think the world needs D-bags. It's my point.
It's remarkable, like, Hardy.
You know, we sit here and we talk about Christian Barmore, right?
Like, yeah.
Okay. Is there some issues? Maybe. But I said this in football. You need like 8 to 10 a-holes.
Have you seen Patrick Sertan's quote about him?
I did not.
Let me pull that up for you. It's great.
He said I play with his dad. He's a good player.
He said something about he's always angry out there. When I read that, just from a football sense, I'm like, all right.
You want the Dick Butkus type guy. You want the old NFL films where, you know, he's sitting there with Artie Donovan talking about, I like watching that Betty Davis movie, the one where the head gets cut off and it goes rolling down the steps. I laugh at that. You need Jack Lambert. You need Dick Butkus. You need the guy that's going to close hang someone. You need a run stuffer. We need some nasty from the DN. We need a 5 technique that's going to get after it. Kick him inside. Put him at the 3. You can widen him out. Don't matter. Put Hightower behind him. That'll be fun to watch.
Reading from SI. Here's a quote from his teammate, Patrick Sertan, saying, BMO, he brings a lot of energy. It actually boosts up the defense with how much energy he has.
BMO.
He was tenacious. He acts like he's angry all the time out there on the field. We need those types of dudes on defense, especially up front on the D-line.
You need crazy up front.
Now, others would disagree.
Oh, give me a nice guy.
Oh, dear God, there's an update on the Tom Wilson story. This is great. Is this what was in Slack, T-Bone? You told me to go look at?
What do we got?
Statement from the National Hockey League moments ago. The National Hockey League announced today that the New York Rangers have been fined $250,000 for their public comments on Tuesday, May 4th. Public comments of the nature issued by the Rangers that were personal in nature and demeaning of a league executive will not be tolerated.
Was that Peros, right? They went after him, wanted him fired. Yeah.
This from NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman. While we don't expect our clubs to agree with every decision rendered by the Department of Player Safety, the extent to which the Rangers expressed their disagreement was unacceptable. It is terribly unfair to question George Parros' professionalism and dedication to his role and the Department of Player Safety.
That was a bit much. Wow. It was a bit much.
Wow.
Now you start calling for the individual firing of a person that probably does a pretty good job at what he does.
We'll take a quarter mil. Thank you very much, Dolan.
Yeah, keep yapping.
Listen, you can hate Tom Wilson.
Sell more cable boxes.
Right? Plenty of good reasons to hate Tom Wilson. Tom Wilson has gotten the better of the New York Rangers. He is destroying the Rangers right now. In the last 2 days, the Rangers have had a very important player, highly skilled player, get injured and will miss the rest of their season, which is not for long because they're not a playoff team. So Panarin gets hurt. He's out. Yesterday, they put out the statement, which has now resulted in a $250,000 fine. And the team president and GM were both fired yesterday. This has all happened in a 48-hour window.
Well, not to mention,
the Rangers franchise is getting smoked by Tom Wilson.
Well, we didn't even bring up the fact that there is a hearing today on one of the incidents from last night. I don't think we mentioned
this.
The
high stick. We did not mention this.
Yeah. Okay, so that's
talked about it yet.
Buchnevich high-sticked Mantha last night. And look, I didn't see what happened prior to this, original incident with Wilson before he, did the cross check and then did the takedown. So I don't know what the instigation was. I thought it was just shenanigans. He thought in the goal mouth there in the crease. But last night, Buchnevich and Mantha were going at it, and Mantha was giving him the stick to the back of his thighs in the unprotected area behind the pads there, and did it like two or three times while he was skating away. And once the play developed and they got the puck out of their zone, Buchnevich went up to him and he hit him up high with, was it a high stick? Was it a punch with his hand? I don't know. I didn't see it close
like
up.
Like a punch.
Obviously at this point, I'm going to err on the side of siding with the Rangers a little bit because I still think they've got some payback to deliver. But
it's a punch.
That's a pretty good shot.
It's a punch.
You should go take a look at it.
He punched him in the face.
Did he punch him in the face or did he high stick him across the bridge of his nose?
No, I think it's a punch in the face and he had T-bone? A stick in the hand.
Right.
I think he's just punching him with the glove.
That's what I thought too, but he's got a hearing over that.
Yeah, and
Buchnevich does.
Watch him get suspended now.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. The Rangers and all of New York are going to lose their mind.
They might boycott the rest of the season.
I will say the same thing about that. That does not warrant a suspension. No way.
Oh, the Buchnevich? No way.
No way should he get suspended.
No.
But you know what he might? Imagine if he gets the $5,000 fine.
same thing that Wilson got.
Oh, God. Exact thing. Oh, man. The league. The league looks bad. The team looks bad. Tom Wilson is taking everybody out. Tom Wilson's taking everybody down with him. $250,000 for their statement a day after they went and fired their GM and president because they didn't agree with the statement.
Also, Beadle, as people pointed out, I didn't know about this last night after Wilson left the game, but apparently that was like the NHL blood rule. So leaving with an upper body could be attributed to the fact that his hands were bloodied. And once you're bleeding, and if it's something that, I don't know. They can't stop. They can't stitch. They can't, immediately remedy. Then you got to go.
Clean him up. Well, go clean him up and put him back in the game.
He's got gloves.
What exactly is the bleeding rule?
If you've got bleeding, that is.
You make me bleed my own blood? What?
Blood of my blood. There's blood in my heart.
He's bleeding. He's bleeding. They can't stop it. You can't stitch, open wounds on your knuckles, I guess. But if he's wearing gloves, what's the problem?
No, the rule is Rule 571 here. Oh. Player bleeding.
You don't need to read it to me. I can quote him to you, fella.
Or covered by blood shall be considered an injured player and shall leave the ice for treatment and or cleaning. Mm. If he does not comply, he shall be assessed a minor penalty. So you can't keep playing while you're all bloodied, but you got to go get treated and you come back. Like any other injury that involves blood. How many times have you seen a guy bleed all over himself, go get stitched, and he's back?
Well, maybe they couldn't stop the bleeding. Maybe they needed one of them styptic pencils. Rub that on
maybe
the
cuts. Maybe they used on that guy when he got his neck cut. Remember at the skate?
Oh!
That's blood squirting everywhere.
Okay. Well,
then they got to clean it. They got to squeegee the blood off the ice.
I was just bringing up random moments now.
Here, put some septic in there. Septic. You know who had one of those? Greatest story ever about this pen. This pencil you use when you nick your neck shaving.
It was on a way trip. Everyone's father.
Yeah. I have one.
No, but it's like three years ago. We're on a way
game. Can't buy them anymore.
Yeah, you can. I bought one last year during the pandemic when we talked about this.
Oh, you did?
I get on a bus, like, to one of the away games.
I think I ordered more than one to give them to you guys. I ever give them to you?
No.
I nicked a mole on my cheek.
I'll find them.
And it's bleeding like crazy. And I'm on the bus, and you get the suit on. Capello opens his...
of course.
Mark Capello, old man, opens up his shaving kit.
Yeah.
And has the brand new
extra.
Said, here, put it. And I put it on.
He had it next to his hair tonic and his bay rum.
Correct. It is high karate.
Hold on a second. It's next to my witch hazel.
Yep. And he had collar stays.
Barbicide.
It's next to the club man here. Hold on.
Witch hazel. Club man with the cane at the top end. Yes. Oh, my God. Do you know, like, when I get my haircut, I'm not allowed to have them put that on me at the barber? Because it smells our pillows so bad at home. It stays with you, like, for days.
Can't take a shower after
No,
the
I do, but that stuff, like, it permeates your skin. It gets
in the shower. Get clean your leg in there.
I got a clean leg.
That should be one of the drops. What do you think?
Yeah.
Probably. No. We're coming up with our most frequently used drops from the show. Helping T-Bone do his job.
What was the one when I saw the turkey dinner?
I think that's just going to sound like part of the show.
Yeah, it's not going to sound like it's something separate.
Can't be anything that we said.
Cleany leg. We'll talk to Chris Wagner coming back next.
No, that works.
That doesn't work. Go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Tub. Zolak and Bertrand. Sports talk in the middle of the day.
You know what's hilarious about it, Scott? I could act like I know what I'm talking about.
That's what we do every day.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, come on, let's go. Woo! There you go, Hardy.
I shouldn't have let it be dealer's choice.
And there goes that. Is there another?
Not a cover.
Is there another? Is there
another song? Don't do Los Lobos covering someone else.
Oh, they sing this?
It's all right. It's fine.
Let's go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline and welcome in Bruins forward Chris Wagner joining us now. Chris, what'd you do for Cinco de Mayo?
Buenas noches, Wags.
How are you? I did nothing. I didn't even have it. I had Chipotle.
You know what?
Good enough.
I had Chipotle 2 days ago, and they actually have a cauliflower rice that you could substitute, which is awesome. Really good stuff.
Yeah, I don't even put the rice in, though, so I'm that healthy.
Well, you're a badass professional athlete, you know?
Yeah. I don't like the cilantro that much in the rice. I think there's too much.
It is. There is too much in the rice. I do agree with
that. Some people can't do cilantro at all.
Yeah, if I had a choice, I would never do it. But sometimes it sneaks its way into some things that I like. So I suck it up.
You should open up a Mexican restaurant in Walpole and eliminate cilantro from the menu.
There, have you ever been to Jalapenos?
Yes, sir. It's a good spot.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty good. That's been there for a while. Jeez, like 15 years probably.
Yeah, I mean, that's a while.
Chris, what'd you make of what Tom Wilson did to Panarin this week?
I think it was a defenseless player. The Buzhnevich thing, like, guys have pushed down on my head. I've probably pushed on theirs when they're laying on the ice, but that was kind of a wind up while he's already laying there. And then the Panarin, he has his helmet off, he kind of grabs his hair and then body slams him. So I don't think anyone really appreciated that. I don't know if he should have got, you know, heavily suspended, but it's kind of, if you have the past history, they usually look at that. So I don't think as much stuff would have happened last night if he did get suspended. I don't think there would have been a line brawl or six fights. He probably would have had a fight, you know, the next game they played the Rangers if he wasn't in. But I'm not really sure.
Were you shocked it was $5,000 and that's it for him? Based on who he is and what he is?
For that's pocket change for him. I mean, he probably just made that in the last 10 minutes. So, that's a pretty small fine. But I'm pretty sure that's our max fine.
It is. Yeah.
That's not very steep. For a lot of guys.
Well, what about Buchnevich having his supplemental discipline hearing today for the high stick last night? Did you see that play?
Yeah, I did. He what did he do before that? I think he got slashed, and then Manta kind of turned around and said, "You want to go?" He didn't even look at him, and then I think, you know, something else happened along the boards, and then he just turned around. I think he had enough of everything and kind of snapped. That was pretty dirty though. That was high and straight to the face. So I don't think there'll be much discussion about whether he gets suspended or not.
Well, but Mantha was doing that afterward. And again, I know that this happens a lot, but he was doing the stick to the back of the thighs in terms of the annoying things that another player does to you. That's got to rank right up there. Just as slapping you on the unprotected part back there, trying to get your goat a little bit.
Yeah, but that he's asking him to fight while he's doing that. Like, there's no, like, it's not like, oh, he's trying to like get him annoyed. He's probably saying, let's go. And then Buzhnevich was just like, we're not going. I'm just going to cross check you right in the teeth. So I mean, it's a tough couple of days for him. But that you can't really cross check anyone in the face. That's probably going to earn you a couple games.
When this melee started last night, who's the first guy you texted? Are you on a text chain with any of the teammates, or you got one guy?
Like, no, it was actually my dad.
Nice.
We didn't really talk about. I mean, I guess we talked about it at the rink, but you know, you like the Rangers aren't as tough as the Capitals. That's just a fact. But I mean, good for them. Like, I know Kevin Rooney pretty well. I played with his brother when I was younger, and he belongs to my club down the Cape, so I see him a lot in the summer. And yeah, you know, he's a really nice kid.
Humble brag wags.
Yeah.
You should hear him on the, like, you should listen to the podcast, The Golf Show. He belongs to like 9 clubs.
What are you, Golf Club Cape Cod?
Oh my God, he's everywhere.
No, Zach and Essett.
Oh, Jesus. You're a nice one. Wow.
Yeah.
Can't add money.
But yeah, like he's the first guy who's like thrown to the wolves kinda, and you know, he's not, I mean, he's a strong kid, but I wouldn't say he fights a lot, and that kind of puts all those guys in a tough situation that, you know, they don't really have a heavyweight per se, and the Capitals have, you know, Z didn't even really do anything. You know, Dylan's a big boy. Manta's a big boy. Just a tough situation for the whole organization.
Well, your team has the Rangers tonight. Do you think among the guys on the ice, this could come up as a topic of conversation at any point?
I don't think anyone's going to say anything, really. I mean, what do you say? like, good job sticking up for your guy, I guess. Or you got beat up last night. I don't know.
Kick your ass tonight.
Yeah.
Hit you while you're down. I
mean, hey, Tom Wilson's really derailing your franchise, huh, fellas?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. It's really got the best of you, clowns.
Yeah. I know. It's crazy. That all happened.
President fired, GM fired. The team just got fined $250,000. Yeah,
six guys in a penalty box.
Tough couple of nights for you guys.
Yeah.
I know. At least the players won't have to, you know, pay that fine. So it'd be the team. But that's a tough, you know, emotional game. Then getting on a plane and then coming here and playing us. That is a tough week.
Given that the Bruins have been playing well here for the last, I don't know, what do you say, month plus?
Yeah.
It's been a good stretch of hockey. Are you ready for the playoffs to begin? Are your teammates ready for the playoffs to begin and get through these next four games and get the regular season over with? You itching?
Yeah, I think it's taken a toll. Like, nobody's played this many games in this amount of time in their careers, really. We haven't had 2 days in between a game since mid-February, I think. So even if we, you know, we start on next Saturday, like having those 3 days in between will be nice for everybody to recoup and, you know, get the energy back. But at the same time, you still care about seeding, even though home ice is not the biggest advantage this year. You still want to finish as high as you can. And you do that by, you know, winning these last four games.
You know, we always ask you about the goalie situation too, and it's sort of kind of taking care of itself, fair to say. I mean, look how good Tuukka's been since he returned. And I know he even said the other day that he's not 100%. Do you sense that in him? Because he said it's not really interrelated, but he's not really 100%. Doesn't feel that great.
I don't know. I shot on him after practice today, and he looked pretty good to me.
Good.
He's looked great in the game.
Yeah,
too.
I mean, he's been good.
He's looked great.
The comments were unusual. Just, you know,
you can really tell when he's on is when, like, guys shoot and he doesn't even move. Like, he's already there and just catches the puck. Like, you know, like nothing happened. Like, sometimes if I'm watching the game, like on TV while I'm working out, and he, like, you see the shot going and nothing really, he doesn't even move. And nobody else moves, and like, oh, did that go in? But he just, you know, like casually catches it, and then there's a face-off, and that's it. He's so good at being in positions like that in practice, too. Like, why isn't this guy trying? But he doesn't even have to because he has such good position in the net.
You know, if we could go back quickly to what you just said about the lack of days off, do you feel it's impacted the level of play, not just for you, but for the entire league? When you're at this point in the season, all these games guys have played, do you think things are a little slower or not as good, or do you sense that at all?
No, I think the games have been, you know, pretty good. I think the playing the same teams over and over again more than anything would wear you down, just because it's like, okay, like, can we mix up going to a different city or, you know, see someone else with a new system? That gets old pretty quick. But I think everybody, once you finally get to the game, maybe the days are longer. You know, going to pregame skate, having naps, it just never feels like it never stops. But, you know, once everyone gets in the game, I think the pace has been pretty good still.
All right, so in the first round, it could be Pittsburgh, Washington, or the Islanders. Who's the best matchup?
Who do you want? I don't know. Someone asked me that today. They're all good teams, too, and they're all different in their own ways. You know, the Islanders, we've historically done way better than we have this year against them, but, you know, they play solid defense. Pittsburgh, they're kind of a sleeper for me because they weren't very good at the beginning of the year at all, especially when they came here. I think we beat them, you know, like 6-1, 3-0, but they've figured it out. They're obviously very deep down the middle with Carter there now. And then the Capitals, like, well, the last couple of years, every time we played them, it was like, oh, man, here we go. This is going to be a tough game. But this year, I feel like we've done way better than we have against them. So it's really pick your poison. I mean, you're going to have to play, you know, two of them at least if you win the first round. So I don't think it really matters.
All right, Chris, appreciate your time. Talk to you next week.
All right. See you, buddy.
See you guys.
All right. Take it easy.
Not a cilantro guy, huh?
No, he's down on it.
That's what you took from all that?
Yeah. No. It's interesting about Pittsburgh, though.
Last 10 minutes, he's had that on his mind.
No, you said...
He likes it. It's weird because he said he can like it a little bit, but it's like sometimes too much.
Say, are the Islanders a good matchup for them? I mean, we just saw the Capitals, how physical they are. That could be a physical series. That could wear you down going into round two. I think they could beat the Caps. Is it good to play Pittsburgh? I mean, you just played them in what was really like a playoff intensity type series. Is it better to have them early or push them off? Like you said, they figured some things out. Any of those are going to be good. It's going to be good. There's no cupcake. There's no, like, Carolina sitting there. Like, give me them, those goofballs, their stupid post-game.
I wouldn't want the Penguins. Not right now.
Not right now, no.
No.
I'd say Islanders. Islanders be a good first round.
I think it just takes so much out of you. Like, you can just, I think you could mark down a Bruins-Penguins series to go the distance, and it's going to take so much out of you in the first round.
None of them are sweeps. I
mean, none of them are good matchups.
No.
I don't feel great about any of them.
This isn't 2 years ago where they had a cakewalk. Yeah.
Well, unless another team gets popped for you, that's what happened 2 years ago. I mean, it wasn't a cakewalk based on like everyone left.
No.
It was teams getting eliminated for you.
It was the road. Yeah,
that was nice.
Least resistance. Yep.
Let's get back to it with something Sean Payton said yesterday about what his team was up to during the draft. That would be the Saints.
Oh, they must have been trying to get those quarterbacks.
No, he did openly admit that he was trying to get up into the top 10, but not for Mac Jones and not for a quarterback. You'll hear it in his own words next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
So and Beatles. You up to date at work.
Rose.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, you'd know it if
you'd
smelled it.
You'd know it if you smelled it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's almost like Cake by
the Ocean. We got all the hits happening
this
here.
Sounds
Doja
like cake
Cat.
By, little Cake by the
Dua
Ocean.
Dua Lipa. Look at all that stuff those kids listen to.
This could be a song of summer. This could be.
It's
been out too long.
Yeah, I need something new.
Yep.
Can I just tell you, this is completely unrelated to anything at all. Anything at all. A Twitter account that I am enjoying the hell out of. Maybe you've seen this one, Hardy. Christopher Moltisanti weighs in on current events.
Excuse me?
Yes. So it is as if Christopher Moltisanti has a Twitter account.
Oh, I like it already.
And he tweets about current events.
What is the handle?
Happening. The handle is Moltisanti Thoughts, and Thoughts is spelled T-H-O-T-S. It's got nearly... It's got 45,000 followers currently. I'm enjoying the hell out of it.
What was the last current event? What was his thought?
Now, the pin tweet says, did you see the pin tweet?
I've seen this one. This one's been shared a lot. You can't say it out loud. It's about NFTs.
Instead of saying it's a non-fungible token, he says, yeah, it's called the non-bleepable token. They're worth so much money because they're made of computers. I'm just enjoying that. I could read through those tweets for days. But anyway, back to the matters at hand, if you don't mind. Sean Payton went on Rich Eisen's show. Rich Eisen, shout out to him. He always gets excellent guests on that show of his. He really does.
NFL Network connections.
But he's not on NFL Network with the show.
He's a peacock.
It's like his own thing on Peacock.
Right.
And that show has sort of bounced around.
He moved over to Peacock, yeah.
He's a friend of yours, isn't he?
Yeah. I've gone on his show.
You don't go on his show?
I've gone on his
show. Oh, you've gone on the show.
Did it at the Super Bowl, yeah.
He gets good guests. And he got Sean Payton yesterday and asked Sean Payton about, was he trying to move up in the draft? And Sean Payton, I think, in my opinion, coaches lie all the time. He was about as transparent as you can be as a head coach in the NFL in terms of what he had going on at the draft. Here, have a listen.
Let's talk the number of reports I saw before the draft that you were trying to trade up into the top 10 quarterback-minded, or potentially as Mac Jones was falling to middle of the draft to get him, but you stayed put. Walk us through what happened on draft night.
Yeah, it was pretty simple. Look, we felt there were a couple players that we'd move up for, and for us, we have a must at corner, and so there were two corners graded, both Horn and Surtain, with real high grades. And very quickly, early in the week, it's pretty common for teams to say, "Hey, we have an interest." Everyone's basically open for business, but ultimately, there wasn't a team wanting to move out of the first 10 picks. I think that lasted all of a half an hour, maybe the morning of reaching out to these teams, and the cost would have been, if we found a trade partner, too high. So, at that point, our feeling was, it's going to come to us at 28, and let's make sure we have our cloud of players ready. And it's exactly what happened.
So
he openly admits, yes, I was trying to move up into the top 10. I had two different corners I wanted, and I couldn't get up there to get them.
What did I tell you this yesterday when you started to get this spin that, hey, the Saints were knocking on the door. They were poised to go. They were ready at 16 to take Jones if he was there. I said, why don't we get anything out of New Orleans on this, if that was the case? Yeah, somebody would have sniffed that out. Now, I think Peyton's a pretty honest interview. He don't play those games like, I'm going to sell you a bill of goods. It's not related. He's like Mike Tomlin. There'll be no transparency here. He's one of those guys. I think he tells it like it is. He's been around the block. He's won. Now, what's he got to hide?
So what you're saying is these stories.
I believe him. The local stories about the Saints being there or knocking on the door or jumping in front of them or being ready to go at 16.
So these stories of, Saints are trying to get
post-draft
Mac Jones.
Post-draft drama.
It seems like a bunch of hogwash.
Yeah.
Which Mike Lombardi seems very invested in promoting. He was tweeting about it again this morning with a link to a story on The Athletic. Lombardi, today, again. And the story was, the main focus of the story, it was Jeff Howe's story, actually, was not about the Saints being involved. It was a focus on Mac Jones and how great he is. But I don't know. He seems very invested in that and promoting that. And he's been on that. Meanwhile, the head coach of the Saints openly admits he was trying to trade up into the top 10 and openly admits he was trading for a corner and names the two corners that were up there that he wanted and was not afraid to admit that post-draft. So who do we believe on that?
I believe that guy.
Team-friendly guys like Lombardi? Patriot team friendly guys, or the head coach of the Saints.
Like the draft happened, why are we wearing this one out? The head coach of the Saints. We had desperate need a corner. There's only two corners we really wanted. It was Horn and Surtain. So we were doing our homework. We're trying to figure out. It was just too much for us.
Yeah.
They had a long way to go.
And they did not end up drafting a corner. So do you think that makes Peyton Turner, their first round pick, feel bad?
No.
No. No,
you're ecstatic to go in the first round.
Hey, Peyton, you were not our first pick. We were trying to move up in the draft to get a corner, but we're happy to have you.
Worked out well for them, I think.
Yeah. But they had that deal at 16. They were, 16.
Did they?
Which, as you said yesterday, why would you call the team after the Patriots?
Right.
Why did you call them?
There's New England.
Why wouldn't you have called New England yourselves?
New England sitting there with Cam Newton after they just spent $250 million in free agency and those two all-star tight ends. Yeah, they're not going to go quarterback?
Yeah, they were. Why didn't you trade for 15?
Right.
Really, the question.
Why don't you trade with the Vikings? Yeah.
Why don't you trade with anybody?
Maybe you run on Fields. You like those athletic guys. If, you have one in Taysom Hill.
If Sean Payton was, this is what's interesting. Sean Payton admits he was trying to get into the top 10 and couldn't find a suitor. Couldn't find a team that wanted out. So you couldn't find any teams that wanted out between 10 and 15 because, oh, wait, yes, there were a bunch of trades there that you could have made one of those trades if you desperately wanted Mac Jones, and he didn't. He didn't make that deal.
Right.
Pay the price, you can get the pick, you can get your guy. Just a hefty, hefty price. Speaking of Mac Jones, Brandon in Boston, what do you got on Mac Jones today? It's
okay. Hey, guys, thanks for taking my phone call. So I just want to talk about Cam Newton and Mac Jones. So I feel like Cam Newton's going to be the face of the team starting off. Now, the only way that Mac Jones starts off, and I say Mac Jones, I don't even think he'll start before Stidham, is if there's no chance.
Why? You haven't seen him yet.
Season. Based on what? What are you basing that on?
Yeah, what are you basing on?
That's just what I'm basing on. Now, if there's no chance of going to the postseason, then you get to start Stidham off. I don't know how many games you would play out of that because you don't know the division. But whatever games are left, you play Stidham.
Okay, your phone is breaking up there, Brandon. Give us a call back. We'll try and sort through
that. Confusing call there. But yeah. I know he's a pro cam guy. Yep.
We will talk to the head coach of the Revs, Bruce Arena. He'll join us next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Putting you in the middle of the story.
Bob and Easton, Bob.
In the middle of the day.
You know why I love this show?
Zolak and Bertrand.
Because I have ADD. 38 seconds.
What do I?
I'm talking about Breer and Shanahan to Zolak TikTok.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Let's welcome in the sporting director and head coach of the New England Revolution. Once again, joining us, Bruce Arena on the line. Bruce, how are you?
Good. Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you?
Hello, gentlemen. How are you?
Yes, gentlemen. Oh, man. Only one today?
That's what were you.
That's
yes.
You. Yeah, yes. In response to
oh,
you.
Me. Okay. Yeah. Oh, thank you. Thank you.
How's it feel to be unbeaten at this point?
Well, it's good, but we only have 31 more games to play in the regular season, so... Give me a call next week.
We will. But I want to go back. You know, obviously you took care of Atlanta, but going back to that first game of the year, you guys got down pretty quick in that game. And I know we talked to you that week and you said, yeah, we had some concerns coming out of the gate, but you've righted a ship nicely here. What's changed for you through the course of these three games to where you're playing at this level? And I know your stars are starting to play well.
I think we're getting better. We're building on what we had at the end of last year. And I think the players are more comfortable with the messages we give them. We know the roster better, and we've strengthened the roster as well. But I think we had a good preseason, or 3 weeks in LA was real good, and you know, we got better as a team. And I think the guys have a lot of confidence. And you know, we've been a good road team over the the last 10 games last year, and starting with a draw in an opening game is not a bad result. So, you know, I think we're a team that's gotten better, has confidence, and is experienced enough now to win games.
It's got to be gratifying to see Carlos Hill continuing to play at a high level. I mean, he never stunk, but for as good as he was when he first came onto the team, especially in that last match, he just seemed to be everywhere.
Yeah, he's a special player. He knows how to move without the ball. Yeah. As you can see in that game, his first touch is incredible. But he sees plays early. He's an elite athlete. You see that in every sport. Players have the sixth sense that you just can't coach, and that's what Carlos is about.
You're going to have three matches over the course of 8 days coming up. How is your team prepared for that, and what are you doing from a coaching perspective to prepare the team for that?
Well, we're prepared for it. It'll be challenging. We're playing three of the strongest teams in the Eastern Conference in Nashville, Philadelphia, and Columbus. Columbus obviously won the MLS Cup last year. Philadelphia won the Supporters' Shield. And Nashville was a playoff team that made it to the last four in our conference. So they're all tough teams. You know, we're going to take it one game at a time, prepare for Nashville, and then after that we'll get ready for Philadelphia. But we're prepared to make changes in our roster. You know, we think we have good depth this year. And, you know, it'll be a real challenge. So it'll be interesting to see how we get out of this, you know, three-game challenge.
How's the new playing surface at Gillette? I mean, I was down there taping TV last week. I said, this looks like it's a thinner, smaller blade. Is it?
It's excellent. I mean, right now it's great for our sport. I would think in football they won't like it as much because I think the skill positions will not have the push-off that they have in a little bit of a harder, quicker surface. It's a little bit spongy. I don't know if you noticed, the ball in soccer doesn't go out of bounds a whole lot anymore.
Right.
On a typical artificial field, it's a little harder and the ball runs off the field quickly. So this is a field that we prefer. Hopefully the Patriots like it and don't get angry at us. But
as long as the kicker can hit field goals and they don't have issues and, you know, they have to do some things.
I don't know how any kickers survive in that stadium because I always try to figure out which way the wind's blowing and you can never tell.
Never can tell. Yeah.
So did you have input on that new service?
We recommended that for sure. I mean, that's a surface that's very similar to the one in Portland we play on. And it's the best artificial field for our sport. Hopefully the Patriots like it as well.
Well, just win. That's, as long as you win on it.
And if not, just duck for cover.
Yeah, look out.
That's what
how things change in a year. It's we're thinking about changing the field. Who should we ask? Ask the Revolution. They're having a better season.
Well, I'm sure they talk with the – I think if you ask both of us, we'd rather have grass.
Right,
yeah, correct.
Yeah, so
to go bigger picture, I know that when we first started talking to you, to go back a couple of years now, we were talking about the future of the franchise and – where the teams would be playing. We know you have that gorgeous new training facility, but in terms of stadiums, you ever hear any updates on that? Is it still Gillette Stadium for the future, or is there still hope of building a separate stadium for the Revs elsewhere?
Well, building a stadium is definitely in the plans, and the Kraft keeps things pretty quiet. You know, they're working on it. I think hopefully in the near future they're going to make an announcement on that. And by the near future, I'd probably say I'd like to believe by the end of this year we're going to have a better idea where the franchise is going to go in the future. But it's something they're working on. They're deeply involved in doing it. They're very serious about getting it done. We know that that's going to be something that's going to make our franchise one of the elite franchises in the league if we can get that accomplished. And that's the way our league's going. Every team in the league is basically building a new stadium. So, you know, we got to keep up with the Joneses.
All right, Coach. Well, we appreciate your time. Good luck here over the course of the next week. We'll talk again.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
See you, Coach.
Thanks, Bruce.
Bruce Arena with us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline here on Zolak and Bertrand.
It's the first thing I noticed. I went to do Channel 4 on Sunday, and I get down there. Reese and Roche are down there. And I'm like, look at this. It's a different turf. Reese said, put in for the Revs. A lot more of those rubber pellets. You could see the rubber mixed in, and that just means it's, you know, it's a tighter, spongier surface, like you said.
Hmm.
Nice. A lot of tires chewed up and thrown all over that field.
Is that what they're still using?
Tires. Yeah.
Recycled tires?
I think some manufacturers have started to shift away from those and use other rubber products, I believe.
Oh.
Yeah, there have been some stories about cancer risks with tires.
Oh, boy.
Old Roundup tires. Roundup.
You use Roundup in your yard and you get it from that, too.
Yeah. Yeah, something's got to get you.
Huh? Wash your hands with it, right? Get the mulch, get down there with their hands.
Can we do the headlines?
Please.
Yep. Right.
Please.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.